Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
That's the tree that grows, according to Psalm 1. David said it's got to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. You get somebody that's got, you know, it ain't just about the flow. It's about that root growing and your spiritual structure getting stronger. That's why Jesus said you got to be a man that builds his house on a foundation. Because the sensational alone is not going to be good enough. The experience alone is not going to be good enough. You can't experiment with God like you experiment with things in the world. You have to build it on the Word of God. You have to have fundamentals and foundation. You have to have daily practices. You got to have spiritual routines. You got to have prayer. And what I have found is when people are praying and fasting and seeking God and faithful in church attendance, and to have the Word of God preached to them, and they hang around this altar and they get in this altar and pray and seek God, I find that their appetites are different than somebody else that's just hanging around the fringes of the church. Because those that live in the stability and the strengthening root of their experience is going deeper in a relationship with God, and they're learning what apostolic doctrine is. They're learning what the spiritual do's and don'ts are. They're learning how to resist temptation because they have the strength of a relationship with God in them. And it isn't just then about the sensational moments in the presence of God. They can keep their relationship strong with God even when they feel nothing. Because faith doesn't operate according to feelings. Faith doesn't have goosebumps. Faith has substance. And that substance is the Word of God. And you have the Word of God when you have nothing else. We either believe the Word of God is true, or you're deceiving yourself into believing that you think it's true. But when you're totally persuaded, Paul said, I'm fully persuaded, that neither death nor life or principalities or powers or things in heaven or things on earth, whether it's angelic things, whether it's spiritual forces, whether it's earthly influences, whether it's physical obstructions, he's saying there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. That's root. That's depth. That's relationship. Praise God. Some folks, they treat God like celebrity marriages. They find a different doctrine system to believe in about every 3 or 4 years. It's like leasing an automobile. As soon as the lease is up, this is moving on to somebody else. There's no faithfulness in that. There's no honor and integrity in that. There's no depth or root in that. Praise God. Praise God. So you make sure you're not a tumbleweed. A tumbleweed is something that used to be planted, but now it's just blowing around, getting in everybody's grill. And if there was a fire to start, it would be some of the best kindling. But you say, no, I'm going to be rooted. It's amazing even, and this is Jesus. He's talking about one of the biggest categories of people walking away from God is that they get offended. They get offended because when they came in and they got this experience, they just thought it was all going to be prosperity. It's all going to be a bed of roses. It's great if you got a bed of roses, but nobody told you that right underneath that beautiful bloom is a thorn. I'm going to lay down in a bed of roses. You go right ahead. You're going to stand up with little pricklies all over you. Because there's going to be challenges and conflict and strife. And I mean, I could pass this microphone around to people in this room that sometimes you were just barely a survivor in the church. But thank God you're here. You're here. You're a revivalist today. But there are times you were in pure survival mode. If I could just get to another service, I will have done something. Amen? I mean, you weren't standing in the next line to lay hands on somebody. You were standing in the line to get hands laid on you because you'd been struggling. Maybe you had to go to the altar for, 6 months. It was just a recurring problem. You had to stay down there and live in that altar to conquer that thing. But you kept coming to church. And you know what? The root kept growing and the spiritual experience and education and instruction got stronger, and your mental fortitude got stronger, and your spiritual stability got stronger, and your understanding of the fundamentals got stronger. Until now you recognize it. Oh yeah, I know this old enemy of discouragement. God starts blessing me. He wants to come in and try to snatch that away from me, but you're not going to steal that from me. because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Bible says, verse 21 again, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. Now think about how it says it, in himself. What does that tell you? It has to be personal. Some people survive for a while because the family's going. Some people survive for a while because they got a good friend in the church. But what happens when the family doesn't want to go anymore? What happens when the friend doesn't want to go anymore? Didn't say you have to have root in your family. It says you got to have root in yourself. Can't just live off of mama's prayer and granddaddy's experience or the pastor's anointed preaching. Because at some point, it will become dull to the senses if there's no spiritual growth. It is just the flavor of the month, and when they get tired of it, I mean, I grew up loving Captain Crunch. I could sit down and eat an entire box of Captain Crunch, but I ate so much Captain Crunch as a teenager, I don't even want to look at it on a store shelf right now. Lucky Charms was the next in line. That's another one. I can't do it. Right now, because I'm doing this low-carb thing, my cereal of choice is Carb Master yogurt with keto-friendly granola. Yum. But you know what? It's got a lesson in it, doesn't it? How many know what I'm talking about? When you eat healthy for a while, you don't crave the junk food or the other things you used to. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't be tempted by a platter of Twinkies. And when I do fall off the wagon, I won't just eat one donut. I'll eat the whole box of Krispy Kremes. But your appetite does change. The greatest testimony I have to that is I used to despise Brussels sprouts. But I'll eat me some Brussels sprouts now, especially if you put some basil on it or you baptize it in bacon grease. Brussels sprout, I now baptize you, comes out converted. It's very tasty. But I'll eat a Brussels sprout now. I couldn't stand it. Your appetites can change. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. When you first came to God, what some folks struggled with up front, tell it, tell the truth, is that when you came and got the Holy Ghost, you thought everything was going to change overnight, and then you went back and you got tempted to smoke again. You got tempted to drink again. You got tempted to do the things, say the things, go to the places that you'd always been going to, and you're like, wait a minute, I just had this awesome cleansing feeling experience of baptism, and now why am I struggling with this appetite? Because you ain't been around long enough to get an appetite change. You get an appetite change, it then changes your affection. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Some of you know that even when you were in the world, first time you drank a beer, you spit it out. It's like, that's the nastiest stuff I've ever tasted in my life. But you kept doing it with friends until you acquired a taste. Why isn't any different in the kingdom? In the kingdom of God, you acquire a taste for the deeper things of God. So, well, I like it when the Lord comes in the whipped cream of the Holy Ghost with a cherry on top. But then there's the meat and potatoes of the trial, right? And you realize, wait a minute, this trial is not to destroy me. It's going to develop me if I stick around. I will acquire a taste for the deeper things, the higher things, the holier things, the more pleasant things of God. I just got the first serving when I showed up. That was just a little earnest of our inheritance when I got the Holy Ghost. But now that you've been living for God for years and you've been through some things, isn't it sweeter when the presence of God comes? Because you know it is truly the peace that passes all understanding, and that Jesus has proven himself to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that he is not just a mountaintop God, but he is a God that walks with you through the valley, no matter what you face, no matter how many conflicts you fail, and you get back up and you learn from it and you walk with God. You have been traumatized. You've had things in your life trivialized. You have been through it to where you wondered if it was worth all of the trouble to keep living for God, but you somehow made that decision. And here you are. And I know some of you. I know what you have been through. And I honor your testimony today, because your testimony is a lighthouse to many people that are on the waves of trouble right now, looking for some solace, looking for some stable ground to get to. And there you are saying, come over here. I've been right where you've been. But if you'll live for God and stick around and stay your ground, you're going to have a testimony worth telling everybody. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, I pray that God will transfer the seed of people that have been choked out of a Pentecostal relationship with God, and they're now swimming in some other waters, or they are laid up somewhere, experience the sins and the pleasures of life, but they are so miserable. Would you bring them from the wayside and bring them from the thorny grounds and bring them from the stony places and get them on the good ground of a deep relationship with God so that root grows? They say that one of the most famous speeches of Winston Churchill was when he was asked to give a commencement speech, and it was 6 or 7 words. And he got up, and with that incredible English brogue and accent, he simply said, "Never, never, never, never give up." And that was his speech. Because at the end of the day, that's sometimes the greatest self-encouragement you need, is to look at yourself in the mirror of the Word of God and say, "You listen here, you're going to feel like giving up every now and then. But you get your ugly carnal carcass in that car and you get yourself down there to that church and you let that man of God preach to you. You let them Sunday school teachers instruct you. You let a good brother or sister get around you with a gift of encouragement and pray a spirit of anointing on you." You've done it. You might have done that this morning. I almost did it, and I thought, well, I got to go because I'm teaching and preaching. I jumped around playing volleyball yesterday like I was 25. Praise God. I'm as sore as a car that's got 500,000 miles on it right now because I forgot to pre-medicate. I've told you all this before. I'll be back out there tomorrow, Lord willing. You know what? And it affects you, because when you, and I use this as a spiritual analogy, but I'm like out there playing volleyball yesterday, and it used to be I had this really good vertical. When I was in high school, I had a 39-inch vertical, 5'10", but I could dunk a basketball. And I had hang time. Y'all don't even know what that is. Praise God. Brother Rucker knows. He played against me in the heyday. No, I'm kidding. Me and Brother Weston down here, we got the same mentality. We were shooters. When you got shooters in basketball, you can miss 10 in a row. I got no conscience. I will shoot that thing 11th time. I'll shoot it 10 more times because my percentages will come. But I'm out there yesterday, I'm going, man, I can't even hardly jump off this ground. I got spiked on. I got slammed on. I tried to catch a ball or two, and all I did was miss the ball and fall in the dirt. But I'll be back. I'm saying, child of God, some of you precious saints, some of you that have a discipline to live for God, and you've done it for a long time, and you're going through affliction, and you hurt, and you've got pain, and you've been praying, Lord, why don't you take this pain away? And yet you don't stop praising God. You don't stop showing up. You remain faithful to God. You're some of the greatest testimonies of how authentic this thing is, because you're not coming for a healing. You'd have left a long time ago because you didn't get your healing, but you got something greater than healing. You got a testimony that my relationship with God is not predicated on results. It's predicated on this deep desire to get closer to God. You got an incredible testimony. And for some of you, you don't dance like you used to. You try. But you don't dance like you did when you was in your 30s or when you first came to God 20, 30 years ago. I mean, you were like, you could do the helicopter twirl. Now you're just kind of tiptoeing with Jesus. But that's okay, because your tiptoe with Jesus is just as honorable because you've been living for God 30 years and 40 years. Your tiptoe for Jesus, your slow dance with Jesus, which is fine, is like some of these young people can kind of take your place now, and they ought to be dancing and shouting and looking like jackhammers going across the aisle or the front. Does that make sense? But you didn't quit living for God. You might be frustrated that you can't do what you used to do, but there is honor in your durability. There is honor. That's why I want the young disciples to get around you and rub shoulders with you and sit down and have a cup of coffee with you, because you're strong in the Word. I look back here at Brother Vince Renna. When he first came to God, Brother Joe McNeely, he taught him a Bible study. Brother McNeely is one of the best Bible study teachers we have in this church. And he taught Brother Vince Renna a Bible study, the root of which is in how he teaches people to this day. But he wasn't raised in a Pentecostal church. He didn't come into this thing. Are you one of the ones that when you got the Holy Ghost, you asked, I got what? Something like that. I mean, some folks, when they get that experience, they're like, you know, some folks come in, they kind of knew what it was to start with. Oh, yeah, I finally spoke in tongues. Some folks, it hits them, and you tell them, hey, you spoke in tongues. You go, wait, what did I do? They think they've been dropped off in some cult somewhere because they ain't never heard of such. But you let them stick around. How long you been living for God now, Brother Vince? 20-something years, see? That's pretty good. When you know, if you've only been in the church 6 months, it's not hard to remember that. When you've been living for God a good while, some of you, if I said, how long are you living for God? Some of you would be like, 30-something years, 40-something years. Now, some of you, I know you'll have it down to the day and the minute. Isn't that awesome, though? These are the people you got to hang around. These are the people that new disciples have to get connected to because you learn things from them. They sit down and talk about the things of God. We listened up here last week and a half ago, to Sister Lila talking about the reason she's in the church today is how her mom and dad were sold out to the kingdom and she was going to come to church. And you know where they got that from? They got that from Brother and Sister Wesson. It becomes a generational blessing when you can look and see. You pretty well know if the Wessons are not sick or not out of town, you know where they're going to be sitting. And there's many of you that have that same testimony. The Eubanks are that, and the Nays, and now I'm in trouble because somebody's going to go, he didn't name me, and I've been here for 75 years. All of you, I can look around and I know where to find you because you've been sitting in that same spot. That's your spot. Now, I know if somebody came in and sat in your spot, you wouldn't be offended. You'd just be getting there earlier next week because you're going to get your spot back. But I give honor to you because I know that many of you have had thorns and many of you have had stony ground moments and many of you have had wayside moments when the wickedness of this world could have plucked out of you this thing you call a relationship with God. But you're still here because you got root and it grew and it got stronger and you've got a made up mind. No matter what I go through, I'm going to be there. I'm going to live for God. And I thank God for every one of you. I thank God for all the gray hairs in this church. And I've asked the Lord to let you stick around to the rapture because we need elders. And we need a generation of those that understand what commitment looks like, that it's not a, you don't treat God like you have spiritual ADHD. You kind of lose focus every 10 minutes and we constantly got to come up with a new rabbit out of the hat to keep your attention. No, you're just like, just teach me the word. Just point me in the right direction. Just tell me what I need to do. Praise God. We need a little more of that because we're living in a rather soft generation that gets so easily offended by any and everything that comes along because they have no root. But I pray God, some of you elders are spiritual farmers. You've cultivated a relationship with God for so long. And I could go around this room because I know different ones that have been used of God to help other disciples that wouldn't be in the church today if you hadn't helped them learn how to farm the land and cultivate their relationship with God and make sure that seed of the Word of God stayed deep in them. See, it hasn't all been correction today. It's been encouragement. Stick with it. You're on good ground. And this is the Bible said there's not a possibility that when it's on good ground that's going to bring forth. It just says it'll bring forth. And it's not even a possibility that there's going to be a scarcity in the harvest. He said it's 30, 60, and 100 fold. That means it produces, in the simplicity of that equation, 30, 60, and 100 times itself. Now, you can really get into the generations of seeds, and it actually, in some seeds, can get into, by the third and fourth generation, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, yea, even millions that's reproduced, depending on what kind of seed you're talking about. If you're talking about a lone seed or you're talking about a corn stalk that's got many seeds on it, praise God. Remember, that's why we were not supposed to swallow watermelon seeds. because you'd have a watermelon grow out of you. You weren't supposed to swallow gum either, were you? Because your liver would stick to your kidney. Jesus said, you're going to have these things in the world. And I close with this. There is a distinction between the world and the word. And when people have had a certain expectation of what the world does and how the world treats them, and an even false security in the world, it becomes a whole different environment, becomes a whole different culture, becomes a whole different system of requirements, becomes a whole different challenge of what you learn to anticipate and how you're going to redirect your life and decisions that you're going to make, begin to make on a daily basis because you begin to think differently. I can't now just run to the substances of the world or to the security system of the world or even to just prosperity or whatever earthly advice there might be in the world to make me feel better. I'm changing all that because I've got the seed of the Word of God in me, and I'm learning to become a durable disciple that's going to be around not just for a few days, but a few decades, living for God with all of my heart. And when you get knocked down, you don't stay down, you get up. And when you're having a moment of failure, you don't let that failure define you. You get up and you make it become a part of your development. And that's where the old proverb comes along, turning the stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Because you refuse to let that become self-destructive. Praise God. One of the great things to see is that there is no question of the fruitfulness in the seed. And there is no question in the difference between the world's expectations and the word. But if you stay around long enough, some of the things that are hard to understand. When you first got in the church, did you see things that were hard to understand? But the longer you stayed around, now you have perception and perspective and spiritual and scriptural understanding. Why do they have certain holiness standards like they do? Why do they dress a certain way that they do? And some of these things may have been hard for you to understand when you first came into the church, but now, because you've been taught and because you've lived for God a number of years and you've put it to the test yourself, glory to God. I guess part of the thing here is, I think Jesus is kind of word between the lines here is don't give up. Because there's a lot of things in this world that give you an easy excuse to give up. Well, I'm having a hard time. That's the stony ground. I'm in a very difficult place right now. That's the thorny and stony ground. But I'm really under spiritual attack right now. Those are the wayside spirits. They want to snatch that seed out of you. I said, oh no, I'm on good ground. Because I'm on good ground, I'm going to grow through this. And I'm going to be better for it. Amen.
Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours, Lord.
I give you all my heart and my soul. Belongs to you, Jesus. You are the one, the only one who's worthy of all of my praises. I surrender all.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.